MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a chick, chick here, a chick, chick there, here, chick, there, chick, everywhere, chick, chick. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some ducks, E-I-E-I-O. With a quack, quack here, a quack, quack there, here, quack, there, quack, everywhere, quack, quack, chick, chick here, a chick, chick there, here, chick, there, chick, everywhere, chick, chick. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some pigs, E-I-E-I-O. With a oink, oink here, oink, oink there, here, oink, there, oink, everywhere, oink, oink, quack, quack here, quack, quack there, here, quack, there, quack, everywhere, quack, quack, chick, chick here, chick, chick there, here, chick, there, chick, everywhere, chick, chick. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a fort, E-I-E-I-O. With a clink, clink here, a clink, clink there, here, clink, there, clink, everywhere, clink, clink, oink, oink here, oink, oink there, here, oink, there, oink, everywhere, oink, oink, quack, quack here, quack, quack there, here, quack, there, quack, everywhere, quack, quack, chick, chick here, chick, chick there, here, chick, there, chick, everywhere, chick, chick. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm. And on his farm, he had some cows. With a moo moo here, a moo moo there.
And welcome to the Farm Hour here on WIOX 91.3 FM, Roxbury Community Radio. The Farm Hour is your weekly radio program to hear about local, regional, and global agriculture news and hear how farmers and producers are linking into our food chain. It's all about the land, people, and food here on the Farm Hour, coming at you live and wildly diverse every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Madeline Warren, here with Erwin Carl. Hello, Erwin.
Hi, Madeline.
How are you?
Good, good. Just enjoying the fall weather.
It's brisk.
Yeah, one day into it. Pretty pleasant so far.
I agree. I like the cool mornings, but it's looking like tomorrow morning is going to be frosty cool.
This morning the forecast was about 37, I think, was the lowest this week. But has the forecast been revised to a low temperature for tonight?
Yeah. Oh. Areas of frost after 5 a.m., low around 33 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be pretty clear night. In fact, they're saying areas of frost up to 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
tomorrow morning. And maybe frosty tomorrow night, too.
Mm.
We'll see. Changes by the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, or when in 15 minutes or 10 minutes, we'll be hearing from Tina Harp of Mountain Yarns. She'll be calling in to tell us all about the upcoming Catskill Wool and Fiber Festival, hosted by Mountain Yarns at the Binnakill Square in Margaretville and supported by the Bed and Bath Shop. This Catskill Wool and Fiber Festival is scheduled for Saturday, October 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And Tina Harp of Mountain Yarns will be calling in to tell us all about that.
Okay. All right, and in other events coming up just at the end of the week, the Blue Deer Center is hosting a workshop by Charles Eisenstein. He's perhaps best known as the author of Sacred Economy, and he is a regular contributor to The Guardian. I actually was kind of interested in him because he has spoken out against GMOs. But he is giving a weekend-long workshop called Living in the Gift. He does have a background in both mathematics and philosophy, so This is kind of a philosophical and spiritual exploration, but there is a lecture on Friday as part of the workshop that is open to the public and will run from 7:30 to 9 p.m. It's recommended that people from the public who would like to attend should try to register in advance and get there by 7. The lecture is offered on a donation basis with a $10 suggested donation. And that's a little unusual. Usually their workshops are kind of attended by people who are staying there for the full workshop. So this is part of it is open to the public. So that's coming up.
Charles Eisenstein at the Blue Deer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the name of it is Living in the Gift. Another big event that's coming up worldwide is a fortnight of action for seed and food freedom. And this is largely spearheaded by Dr. Vandana Shiva, who's been an author, spokesperson, and activist in a lot of ways. And that begins on October 2nd, which is Mahatma Gandhi's birth date. And it goes on through October 16th. And there's quite a few different activities. Let's see. Including on October 12th, there is a march against Monsanto, which that's not the first one this year, but this is tied in to the 2 weeks of food and seed freedom. And there's also a bunch of resources online about how activists from different parts of the world can get involved and actually do their own events, which include setting up seed banks, community gardens, civil disobedience. It can take quite a few forms, but the spirit of the event is to honor some of the traditions of Mahatma Gandhi and civil disobedience. So based on – this comes from Vandana Shiva in a letter to people she's trying to encourage to participate. Dear lovers of life's diversity and lovers of freedom, it is time to organize and concentrate our energies to liberate our seeds and our food from the toxic, greedy, and lethal clutches of global corporations like Monsanto. From the laws the corporations are writing, stealing our democracies in order to steal our seeds and food, our health and livelihoods, our cultures, and our lives. We need to break from the sense of powerlessness the corporations would like us to experience to make us believe they are all powerful and we have no power to change. But we do. We just have to combine our collective energies. We must become the change we want to see. 2nd of October is Gandhi's birth anniversary. Gandhi left us the legacy of Swaraj, self-organized freedom, and Satyagraha, the force of truth. Let us dedicate ourselves to celebrating October 2nd as the day for a worldwide seed Satyagraha, a day when we defend seed freedom and food freedom by identifying every regional law written by corporations to undermine these freedoms by criminalizing diversity, seed saving and seed exchange, farmers' innovations and farmers' rights, while establishing illegitimate seed monopolies through patents and privileging of uniformity and monocultures. she goes on to say that after having identified laws for seed slavery, let us commit ourselves to not obey these unethical and brute laws which threaten life on earth, including our lives and the lives of our children. Gandhi had reminded us 100 years ago that as long as the superstition remains that unjust laws must be obeyed, so long will slavery exist. We have a dream, and our dream is that every seed, every bee, butterfly, earthworm, person, and child will be free of manipulation and control, hunger, and disease, that they co-evolve and co-evolve in freedom, well-being, and health. We must not allow ourselves to be subjected to the superstition that Monsanto laws must be obeyed. For the sake of Gaia's laws of life's renewal in freedom and the laws of justice, it is our ecological and ethical duty to disobey Monsanto's laws. And while restricting and not cooperating with destructive laws of seed dictatorship, let us celebrate seed freedom and food freedom through adopting the law of the seed and creating gardens of hope, seed sanctuaries, and GMO-free, patent-free seed freedom zones. I think she's alluding there to some of the policies that were included, including in the last federal budget, the what they call the Monsanto paragraph or the Monsanto rider, where basically people who were either lawyers or executives for Monsanto are directly involved in writing legislation that has been passed and signed into law by the president. So there are quite a few resources on the internet if you would like to set up your own individual action. There are resources, there's graphics available, and there's also the Seed Freedom Map. So any groups regionally or locally that set up activities, demonstrations, seed exchanges or whatever can post it up to a worldwide map that shows where the various actions are taking place. And we will keep you posted. That does start on the 2nd of October and runs through October 16th.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like they're going to be hitting on a few of the themes that have been coming up in our news reports over the last few months. So there's a worldwide swell of attention to some of these issues involving biodiversity, monocultures, and genetic modification.
I have an event about oppressive weed seeds.
Okay.
There's an organic cover crop workshop and tour happening October 17th, just outside of Corning, New York, in Big Flats. This organic cover crop workshop and tour is an all-day workshop with soil scientists and botanists. The workshop will feature speakers from Cornell University presenting in-depth information on cover cropping and reduced tillage for vegetable growers with an emphasis on organic systems. It's an all-day thing. You get there 9:30 and you're there till looks like 4 o'clock. And the day will start with Lori Drinkwater. She's an associate professor in the Department of Horticulture there at Cornell, and she will talk about nitrogen cycling and soil ecology, followed by Jean-Paul Cortens, who will talk about how he uses cover crops, a case study, and then Thomas Bjorkman. He's an associate professor at the Horticulture Department as well. Thomas Bjorkman, he's working on the broccoli project too, right? I believe he called in Farm Hour once. But Thomas Bjorkman, he'll be talking about brassicas in rotation and for cover cropping, benefits and liabilities. Followed by Anu Rangarajan. He's a senior extension associate at Cornell. He's going to be doing a field demonstration of small-scale reduced tillage implements for vegetable growers, followed by Matt Ryan, who's also an assistant professor at Cornell. He'll be doing a field demonstration of cover crop interseeder, time of tillage, and cover crop planting effects on weed populations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the day will wrap up with a tour of cover crop demonstration plots. Apparently there are over 180 plots of different species, varieties, and mixes seeded at several dates. They will cover cover crop mix seeding rate study and cover crops for grazing, pros and cons. This is the organic cover crop workshop happening Thursday, October 17th in Big Flats. It's just under 3 hours from Roxbury.
Yeah, it's a ways past, quite a ways past Binghamton there.
Yeah.
By Bath and Corning. But if you're out there, you could also go to the Corning Glass Museum, I believe is right in Corning.
I guess so.
They might have a historical collection of ball jars or something like that.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure what... I've never been there, so... But, yeah, glass certainly has many interesting applications and permutations. And speaking of glass and mason jars, I know a lot of people are getting involved in canning right now. I was trying to track down information on resources available where people might be able to use community or rental kitchens that are licensed for preserves, jellies, and other foods that could be sold on the market, which have to be done in a licensed kitchen. But as of right now, I have not found any, so that's something we're going to follow up on. I think there's a bounty of especially apples, but now's the time to be making all kinds of preserves. And I believe our caller, I think, is on the line. Is Tina on the line, Madeline? Or, oh, I thought we had her, but...
Hi, Tina.
Hi.
How are you? Thanks for calling into the Farm Hour.
Oh, we're terrific. We're very excited about our upcoming event.
Yes, the Catskill Wool and Fiber Festival.
Yes.
And you are a fiber artist, right?
I am. I get to play all day. I'm the luckiest person in the world.
I thought I was the luckiest.
Nope, sorry.
So what's the festival about, Tina?
So the festival is about wool and fall and everything around it that comes in between. I get to spin and weave and dye fiber and yarns and inspire people to create and make all the time. And we do a couple of shows during the year of different groups than I do, and I thought it would be really nice if we could bring one of these types of shows to our area. So that's what we're doing. We are going to be using the Binnacle Square and set it up as a small mini show. We decided to start out with a nice, small, personalized venue so that we could kind of get a feel for what we're doing. There will be people there that are selling their finished handmade fiber arts. Kind of getting chilly, so it's time to think about your hats and scarves and your, you know, nice warm socks. If you are a spinner or a knitter or a weaver or any of those things, it's a good place to get lots of inspiration. We will have all sorts of hand-painted yarns that I do that are really special, hand-spun yarns. I card fiber so that people can come and pick up fiber that is ready to be spun. We will have lots of demonstrators doing all of those types of things as well. The Dutchess County Rug Hookers and Ulster County Rug Hookers will be there demonstrating the traditional art of rug hooking, which is a really amazing thing to see it all evolve. We will be having a fleece-to-shawl demonstration, which means that we take the fleece from the sheep. It's already dyed and ready to be spun, and we will spin it and weave a shawl during the day. We'll have lots of music that Liz from the Bath Shop has set up for us so that it's a nice
festive scene.
Environment. Sorry, the word was gone from my head. And as well, we will be doing a garment competition. Now, one of the really cool things that all the big sheep-to-shawl competitions, or all the big fleece-to-shawl, sheep and wool, gosh, the word was gone, sorry, the big sheep and wool shows do, is that they have a garment competition where everybody sends in their finished handmade items and they do a judging on it, and then you kind of get to go in and see who's won first place, who's won second, why they've won, and the different types of things that the people that truly love what they do get to do. So we're having a little very simple one where you can just stretch your stuff and show us. People will be sending us their finished items. We'll do a gentle competition to just kind of have a little bit of fun. And it's so very exciting that we're almost overwhelmed.
The garment competition. So that would be for anybody, like even a beginner who's just started spinning?
Thank you, yes. Novice people and our beginners are very important because they kind of never feel like they're good enough to do any kind of competition at all. And actually, the fun thing is to see how It's great for us to look back and remember where we started, and so it inspires us to keep producing more as well. But it's really important for anybody. If you're just a beginner and you've just made one little funny hat and you're not really proud of it, you'd be surprised how amazed we all are by it, because we all started there. So it's like we like to give encouragement. So whether you're a beginner or a professional or somebody in between who just loves to do this stuff, whatever you have, it's a great thing to do. My website is set up to... it will be set up the rest of it tomorrow. My daughter's working on it. I don't have the computer skills that my children have. Thank God for children these days. But that will all be set up so that people will be able to find out where they can drop off all their goodies. We'll be taking items up until the Wednesday before the show so that we will have time to judge it on Thursday and Friday and hang it in the afternoon before Saturday morning show. And so we'll be doing... hand-spun items, commercial yarn items, as well as a spinner's basket, which is kind of neat because you get to see the spinners. They produce one skein of just 100% wool, and then they have two complementary skeins that are of that same wool, and get to see the types of things that we can do when we add other items to our wools and spin them up, as well as a rug hooking area. So...
How long have you been spinning and weaving?
Let's see. My daughter is 20, so I've been doing it for 19 years now. Mm. She was about a year old when I learned how to do this.
And do you notice any difference in the climate or the scene with people who are weaving and hooking and spinning?
Well, the interesting thing is that, well, obviously the climate meaning the time of year or just in the way it's happening. Knitting and weaving and spinning, all of that goes on up and down trends all the time. You'll have a lot of people doing it, and then it'll slow down and you won't see a lot of it out there, and then all of a sudden it'll pick up again and become really popular. So knitting is just over the top. There's so many people that are knitting and crocheting these days. It's amazing. Rug hooking has been making a major comeback over the years. You see it. At the New York State Sheep and Wool Festival, you see more and more booths of the people selling the product for all of that. And weaving is not something you see as often. When I demonstrate in my shop during the weekdays when I'm there, the people that come in are like, somebody still does this? They don't even understand a lot of times that this actually is still something that's really happens all over the place. But we take it for granted, that hand towel that you see on the shelf, that it's made by a machine. You don't think that it's made by people. So each of them have their own times of the year when they're more popular, their own times of the, you know, depending on the economy and everything else. You know, weaving's a really expensive habit to have. And I say it's a habit because it's not something you can stop doing once you start, because it's so amazing and invigorating, the different levels of finished work that you can create. It's everything goes on an up and down trend, but right now it seems to be pretty. It's everything is pretty well up there.
Where are you getting your wool from?
I buy as much local wool as I can. When I first opened my store, I looked really hard for local wool up in this area, and I could find very little. And I was so disappointed, because the ability to take somebody's wool and clean it and process it and spin it up into yarn. And then, obviously, if you make it into something, you have, like, a truly local product. And so that was such an amazing thing for me to try to find. And I could only find her for one or two people. Mm-hmm. So when we started talking about doing a show, it was like, wow, this would be a great way to find the different people that have sheep out there, mm-hmm. and that have wool for sale for a spinner, which is very different than the wool you find in your blankets and your socks, as we like our wool nice and soft and cozy so it can sit next to our skin. And this would be a great way for us to be able to contact these people and to kind of bring them all together to say, hey, let's all work together. You have the sheep and I have the spinning wheel, and so let's make our economy work right here in our local little town instead of me having to buy from all over the country and Britain and, you know, Australia. So I buy as much local wool as I can. I have a couple different people that bring to me at different times, or that I've found through somebody knows somebody else who has some sheep in their backyard. And so we buy as much local as we can. Mm. It's not an easy thing to find. So anybody out there who has local fleece for spinners, feel free to stop by and show us your stuff, because that's one of the reasons for doing this was to create a little bit more awareness for everybody, both the growers as well as the producers.
Sheep owners, do they need to do anything particular? Is it very tricky to shear a sheep when the wool is going to be used for a spinner, or is it pretty straightforward? If they already have sheep, they probably have already been shearing them.
They've probably already been shearing them, because you have to shear sheep at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. It's not an easy task.
Yeah.
My mother assumed that when she got her Angora goats, which give us mohair, that because I had groomed her puppies when we were all kids, when we raised standard poodles, that I would be able to shear her goats as well. It doesn't quite work that way. Dog clippers are very different than sheep shears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's something for a spinner. We don't want all the burrs and the debris in the animal, the poop, all of that stuff, because that's hard to get out. And there's no way to get some twigs and sticks out of there. Nobody wants to have their yarn full of all this little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So a spinner likes to have a coated fleece, but it doesn't always have to be coated. In other words, there are special coats that the sheep wear that keeps those fleece nice and clean when they eat and everything, so that there's not hay and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a coated fleece. It depends on the environment the animal is in.
Yeah.
So that if it's free of burrs and there's not places for them to get full of sticks and everything, it's fine. But there are actually two different types of sheep out there. One is for meat, mm-hmm. which gives us our lamb and everything else. Their fleece is shorter and a little coarser. And that's those old scratchy wool sweaters that you remember from being a kid that your grandmother made you wear, and the wool blankets and things along those lines. But the other type of sheep doesn't grow great meat, but they have soft, beautiful fleeces. So that is what the spinner prefers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what are some of the varieties of sheep that are kind of favored by people who are really into the spinning?
My favorite is Blueface Leicester,
mm-hmm.
Which is not as common around here as it is in Britain, but we have been able to find it here. There's another one called Corriedale that a lot of people spin, which is a nice springy fleece. There's obviously your Merino,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually a good meat sheep. That's one of the sheep that actually grows both meat as well as a nice wool.
Mm-hmm.
You have Border Leicester. There's an amazing amount of them. Cotswold has such an amazing shine to it. When you wash it up and dye it up, it takes color so well.
Mm-hmm.
There's really quite a few, and they're in this area. They're all local. People have them all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
This is about finding those people and getting them to come out of the woodwork.
Tina, did you say Blueface Leicester is your favorite?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's a type of sheep. It's one of my favorite. It is a nice soft feel. It handles real well. It has a nice little bit of a drape to it and just enough shine to it to make it so that it just, the colors pop out so brilliantly once it's dyed.
Hmm. So the Catskill Wool and Fiber Festival happening October 5th, is this a rain or shine event?
Absolutely. You don't work this hard to pass it on another day. Yes, it's rain or shine. We will be there. We'll have hot cider and some soup just in case you should be chilly and cold, but we love that about fall, obviously. We will have a maple syrup product there because maple trees in fall is also pretty and reminds us that spring will come eventually as well.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a bake sale there. I'm trying to remember. Isn't that horrible? I don't remember all of the different booths that they have there. There's somebody that will be selling their convections. I know that the Fairview Library, the ladies that knit there, will have a table there to show what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few different types of vendors that will be having their wool products for sale, whether it's yarns or finished items. I know there'll be lots of music. And I'm at a loss for what was on the rest of that piece of paper, to tell you the honest truth.
Well, that's quite a bit. It's
Where will the information be on the internet once you have the site?
You can go on. We can.
The
one place to check is the Bed and Bath Shop has a spot on the Watershed Post,
okay.
And she has all sorts of information there, as she is the supporter of the show. You can go onto mountainyarns.com website, and we have information on our events page there as well.
So Watershed Post,
the Bed and Bath Shop
page,
yep.
On the Watershed Post site will have up-to-date information about the Catskills Wool and Fiber Festival. Thank you so
yes.
much, Tina, for calling in. Tina Harp of Mountain Yarns.
You are welcome, and thank you for having us on our show. We are so excited about doing this, and it was very exciting to be asked to do the show as well.
Have a good one, Tina.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Music lovers, this is Andrew Tully with a question for you. What is jazz? Right, that's it. But that's not all.
I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them eyes.
Get all the answers when you tune into the radio show with all the licks, all the riffs, and all that jazz. Friday afternoon, starting at 3 o'clock, only on WIOX Community Radio 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and on your smart euphonium.
WIOX is supported by Freshtown in the heart of Margaretville. Freshtown is everything you'd expect in a supermarket, plus a unique selection of local and organic foods, fresh gourmet coffees, and an extensive selection of microbrew beers and ales. Freshtown Market in Margaretville, open till 9, Monday through Saturday, Sunday till 8. Fresh products, fresh cut prices.
WIOX is supported by the Central Catskills Chamber of Commerce and Margaretville's 10th Annual Cauliflower Festival, Saturday, September 28th. Featuring a gala tractor parade along Main Street, traditional music from the Catskill Mountain Boys, a petting zoo, pony rides, and face painting, local crafts, food vendors, and of course, fresh, local cauliflower. The 10th Annual Cauliflower Festival at the Village Park in Margaretville on Saturday, September 28th from 10 till 4. More information at 845-586-3300 or cauliflowerfestival.com.
You going to the festival, Irwin?
I'm going to try to make it if I don't have to work.
Mm-hmm. Local cauliflower.
Yeah, you know, it's the busy time of year. We have one event centered on cauliflower and another one centered on wool. So it's, I guess, the kind of farming tradition is still a vibrant part of the local culture, at least as far as festivals go.
tractor parade.
Yep. Well, I believe that was a gala tractor parade, so that's not just any tractor parade.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but...
It's probably a fancy... The tractors are a little fancier if it's a gala.
I know there's
maybe
a
they
big
have
auction.
Tuxedos on the drivers.
There's an auction happening up at Sharon Springs on that same weekend.
Tractor auction or livestock?
Tractor.
Oh, okay. Got your eye on anything?
No. It's all junk.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to get fixer uppers. You have all winter to, you know, rebuild those tractors. So get an old vintage tractor that needs a little rehabilitation, and I'll give you something to do all winter.
Yes, more projects. Just what I need. Mm-hmm. You are listening to the Farm Hour on WIOX 91.3, streaming live at wioxradio.org. Up at 7 o'clock is Mark Bierman of Mark Bierman Sports. And meanwhile, I have a weather report. Tonight, areas of frost after 5 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 33 degrees. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday, areas of frost before 9 a.m., sunny with a high near 67 eventually, northwest wind 6 to 15 miles per hour. For Tuesday night, patchy frost after 5 a.m., otherwise clear with a low around 36 degrees, northwest winds 3 to 8 miles per hour. Wednesday, also patchy frost before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 68 degrees, north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, and Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 41 degrees, northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Looks like we're frost-free for a while after Tuesday, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think we've really had a hard frost yet. And it sounds like the next night or two, it's just kind of patchy stuff. So you haven't really had a, you know, that heavy frost that kind of puts an end to a lot of the growing seasons.
Well, there are a lot of veggies out there still thriving and can thrive with some blasts of frost. Cauliflower is doing really well.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the brassicas or the kale can last November, December, actually. Mm-hmm. It keeps better if you leave it out there. Right?
Brussels sprouts especially are supposed to taste better after a few frosts.
Yeah.
And all the oriental greens are looking good, the radishes, leeks.
Mm-hmm. And there's also quite an abundance of the apples of the wild variety and, you know, nursery variety apples. All the trees seem pretty laden down. And those also seem to be almost better after one or two frosts. I've been sampling a few apples, and they're still either starchy or a little sour. And by the time you hit, you know, second or third serious frost night, they tend to be sweetening up. I think if you're going to make hard cider, which I don't know how many people do that, but I think the frost kind of sets the yeast on the skin of the apple, so fermentation can proceed without having to add any type of yeast to your, you know, fermentation vessel. But I think a lot of people are starting to press cider right about now.
I believe the Hubbles are opening their 3-story barn cider press.
Yeah. As I understand, I think call ahead to make a reserve a time to, you know, when somebody will be available to run the press. But they are doing that.
Do you plan on bringing apples over there?
Yeah, I think I will.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And we have one 5-gallon bucket so far, jug. So I need to get some containers.
I gather the containers
quickly
to put it all in.
Yeah.
I bet Corning has beautiful glass vessels.
Yeah, maybe there's some vintage apple cider hardening containers specially made for that purpose in the old days.
Vinegar?
Yeah, well, that was a major necessity for pioneers when they first settled North America, the European settlers. Actually, that's what Johnny Appleseed did, was he went ahead and would put orchards on land, and then 5 years later, he'd hope that pioneers and wagon trains were moving out, and he would be able to sell them a piece of land that already had 5 to 6 year old apple trees on it, so they'd be producing. But because they didn't have refrigeration, they had to make hard apple cider and or vinegar to preserve it, so they'd have it to use, you know, throughout the winter when, you know, nothing was growing in the forest, pretty much. So it's
I don't know what type of nutritional value hard cider has for anybody. I don't know what about it. I don't know anything about it being a necessity.
Well, it was the only way to preserve it, though. Once it hardened, it would preserve it, so it would keep.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't just go to Walmart and buy moonshine. Actually, that's only a new thing as of a year or two ago down south. But yeah, I'm not sure once it hardens if you're still getting the same amount of vitamins A and C and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, and kimchi and pickling and kimchi making, pickling and canning, preserving foods is in full swing right now.
Yeah.
I received an email from Marguerite Bauer. She has a kimchi making workshop scheduled at the Stanford Farmers Co-op.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah, October 9th. She is going to show people how to make kimchi October 9th from 1 to 3:30 p.m. And she'll also demonstrate other methods of preserving food, which require no heat or refrigeration.
Mm-hmm.
She has a couple of recipes for pickled eggplant. And a fire cider. It's an herbalist tonic that also adds pizzazz to winter meals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can sign up for this kimchi making and more class with Marguerite at the Stanford Farmers Co-op October 9th by calling Marguerite at 607-278-9635 or emailing her at 3moonsisters@gmail.com. I'm sure you could also call the Stanford Farmers Co-op. This class is free. It's sponsored by the Stanford Farmers Co-op board, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a board there? It's a
Yeah, it's a co-op. It's right. A regulatory group, board of directors, I guess, or board of trustees. And just to remind everybody, the time is 6:45, and you are listening to WIOX 91.3 FM on your FM dial, which is, we're also streaming live at www.wioxradio.org. All right.
Some of these days, you're gonna feel so lonely. Some of these days, you're gonna miss me, honey. You'll miss my hugging, you'll miss my kissing. You'll feel so lonely when I'm away. You'll feel so lonely, just for me only. For you know, honey, you pass your way. And when you leave me, you not will grieve me. You come here, you little daddy, some of the day.
Coleman Hawkins, and I'm sorry I don't have the singer's name, but that was Some of These Days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just wanted to remind our listeners, we did just mention Marguerite and her kimchi workshop, but if you happen to miss that, I know that you, Madeline, are also going to be doing a kimchi workshop soon. I've been to a few of yours, and they're also quite good, so...
Eventually.
You don't have a date scheduled, but that is
not
in the
yet.
Works.
It is.
It will
be
in Bloomville. Okay.
Bloomville. Yun Mi, mm-hmm. who is the woman that I did the first workshop with at Table on 10 last year. Was it last year or was it in January of this year? Anyway, yeah. She's going to Korea in a week and will be back in a month, so we'll wait for her to return.
Mm-hmm.
We have our return trip to Bloomville.
Yeah.
But this time we'll have Napa. Over the winter, we made kimchi with radishes.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent, but the traditional, most popular kimchi ingredient is Napa cabbage,
mm-hmm.
which is looking good out there.
Yeah.
It's looking good. It'll be heading up soon, and it doesn't seem to mind the cold nights. It likes it. Less mm-hmm. bug pressure.
Yeah.
Soon, less weed pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Frost will kill the weeds. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning it, Erwin.
Okay. And if once the date is scheduled, I'm sure it will be mentioned on the Farm Hour, so be sure to tune in weekly for all the farm news, plus updates on when the next best kimchi workshop will be happening. We do have some community calendar events, other events going on this week. The Parent Teacher Student Association of Roxbury Central School invites you to a Meet the Candidates reception at Roxbury Arts Group on Thursday evening. That's this Thursday, September 26th at 6 p.m. There are two candidates running for an open seat on the Board of Education, Ed Dalsky and Ed Sanford, and they will both be there to meet voters. Also coming up this week, the Margaretville Hospital Auxiliary is holding a Red Cross blood drive at the Mountainside Residential Care Center this Thursday, September 26th, from 1:30 to 6:30 p.m. Donors must be over the age of 18. Reservations are appreciated, and you can make them by calling the Red Cross toll-free number at 800-733-2767. And a reminder to anybody with an event to announce, you can send information about your timely community event, preferably 2 weeks in advance, to wioxhq@gmail.com or through the postal mail at P.O. Box 100, Roxbury, New York, 12474.
And did you know that the Watershed Post is putting together a Catskills food guide?
Is that something they do every year, or is this a new venture for them?
This is a new adventure.
Oh, okay.
Adventure venture for them. yep. They are launching a brand new Catskills food guide. It's going to be in print and online, highlighting our regional farms, restaurants, cafes, bakeries, food trucks, farm stands, and other places to get great local food. To be listed, you need to log on to the watershedpost.com site and list your restaurant, farm stand, food truck, local produce, kid-friendly eating spot, anything related to food, even events, onto the watershedpost.com site by October 3rd. And I believe that's free to be listed on their online version of the Catskills Food Guide. And then if you would like to be in their print guide, you need to submit a listing for that also by October 3rd. And this will go to press November 11th. So I believe that the Pakatak and Farmers Market is taking out a small ad in the print guide.
Mm-hmm.
Even though our season is coming to a close, we think that this guide will be very useful throughout the upcoming year, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
The Watershed Post team does a great job promoting the region, and the Round Barn is going to be in their print guide, and I would recommend anybody else to contact, who is there to contact there?
Julia Alyssa Rochelle. Or Julia? Yep.
Yeah. They hope to reach 35,000 unique visitors a month. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done a good job covering local news and events. It seems to be one of the major news outlets for the whole region these days.
Mm-hmm. And this is a joint venture, or it's sponsored by Agriforaging and Spillion.
Mm.
Agriforaging is essentially Nicole Day.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I know she hosted and prepared food for the Soup Sunday at Spillion,
which they've made into a weekly event.
Yes,
just started up, but it will be every Sunday in Fleischmann's, in a recently restored a historic building that is now somewhat of a guest house. Or they've got quite a bit of programming lined up, I think, for that location.
So. Yeah, sounds exciting and refreshing, and a new place for people to enjoy delicious local food and hear music. I forget what are the other events, weekly events that they have scheduled. Music, food. What else, Erwin?
I know they have a good presence on Facebook, so you can look them up and follow them on Facebook and get announcements on all their events and programs as they
yes, this is true.
Throw them out there. But yeah, I do know the Soup Sunday seems to be an every week thing, and
yeah,
I heard
it's
some
an
of
endless,
the
it's
ingredients a, for the soup this Sunday sounded quite good.
They were good. I brought over some radishes.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole prepared a salad with wildcrafted watercress, which is growing on the property there,
mm-hmm.
I think, or nearby.
Yeah.
And I believe she threw in some chicories.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
From my garden, and a radish salad with green flesh, watermelon, and daikon radish,
mm-hmm.
which I heard was delicious.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yeah, Soup Sundays at Spillion.
Okay. Well, it is 6:56, which means it's almost time for the quickest hour on local radio with Mark Bierman Sports. Any football going on this week, Mark? Or?
Lots of football. Lots
of
football.
Okay.
Football Hard season corner. Started.
Where? What is it? Week three? Is
week
it?
Week three.
So yes, we're well into football season. So we will hear all about that. We might hear a little bit about if anything's going on in baseball. We got playoffs right around the corner, so we'll probably look at those division standings. Baseball?
What about tennis?
No tennis today.
Tennis season's over?
Tennis over.
It's kind of winding down. I don't think there's any big tournaments right now. But
I decided to give my viewers, my listeners a break.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to the Farm Hour, and tune in next week, Erwin, and I will be back here on the air 6 o'clock next Monday. And we'd like to thank Tina for calling in, Tina Harp of Mountain Yarns, talking about the upcoming Catskill Wool and Fiber Festival. Stay tuned. Mark Bierman Sports. Let's listen to Sugarfoot Stomp, Coleman Hawkins.